you can go to any sporting event and you're likely to see one consistent thing. Some crazy fan not afraid to show their true colors by holding up that sign, John 3:16. Now don't get me wrong, that's a great sign to hold up. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. I mean, if you want to communicate a message to the whole world, this is a great sign to hold up. But I've never seen at a sporting event someone hold up the sign Luke 9:23. Yet, these are the words of Jesus as well. Not only do they appear in Luke, but they also appear in Matthew and Mark. But these words are not quite as comfortable. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. I understand why we don't hold up this sign, but this is a message that people need to know. There's no John 3:16 without a Luke 9:23. You see, John 3:16 emphasizes belief. Luke 9:23 emphasizes following him. There's no true belief if we don't follow him first. In fact, looking at the Gospels, you'll find that Jesus said, "Believe in me," about 5 times. He says, "Follow me," about 20 times. So the question I have to ask, do you really believe if you're not willing to follow Jesus? Showing your true colors is more than just being a Jesus fan. It's about denying yourself, taking up your cross daily, and following him.
Good morning, everyone. So very good to see you. My name's Eric. It's an honor for me to stand before you as we open up God's Word together. Well, I hope you noticed a little bit of a change as you walked in this morning. Today, of course, is the start of our Vacation Bible School. And so in case you did not get the message or the personal invitation, I'm personally inviting you and your family to join us tonight and each night through Wednesday, 7 o'clock. Bring your kids early, check them in, get them into their places. And, you know, if you're not involved in VBS, you can still go around, soak up some of the teaching, see all the great things that are being done. You can see some of the transformation that's already happened already this morning, but lots of work will be done still this afternoon in preparation for tonight. I hope you come back and join us at 7 o'clock. But this morning, we're going to continue on with our series titled True Colors. Last week, I asked you the question, how do you know if you're just a fan or if you are a true follower of Jesus Christ? Now, as somebody asks you that question, you know, are you a follower of Jesus? You know, our natural response is just to say, well, yeah. I mean, I've been going to church for a long, long time. I'm a follower of Jesus. But understand, that's not the question we're asking. I'm not asking how long have you been going to church. I'm not asking how often you go to church. I'm asking, are you a follower of Jesus? Some of you respond thinking, well, yeah, everybody in my family is a Christian. Well, once again, it's not the question that I was asking. I wasn't asking, you know, how many folks in your generation, you know, are you third generation, fourth generation Christian? I wasn't asking if your parents are followers of Jesus. I'm asking, are you a follower of Jesus? Now, some of you might be responding thinking, well, yeah, I'm a follower of Jesus. I mean, I've been a Bible class teacher here at First Colony, you know, for 5 years. Well, that's a great thing. We are certainly thankful for all of our Bible class teachers. But once again, that's not quite what we were asking. You see, we're not asking how often, you know, you serve in the church. We're not asking how much you give. Because there's a big difference between somebody that's a fan of Jesus, somebody that's a fan of the church, and somebody that really is a true follower. Now, last week we spent a little time looking at this verse from Luke chapter 9, verse 23. These are the words of Jesus as he says, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." And so this morning, I want us to spend a little time talking about that fourth point this morning. And what does it look like to be a follower? Because it is so easy to confess with our mouth that we are followers of Jesus. But it's another thing entirely to confess with our life. Because if I were to ask you, you know, are you a follower of Jesus? There's a couple of questions that go along with that, I think. Let me ask you, when was the last time that you took care of a widow or an orphan? And these are some very specific scriptures that God calls us as believers of groups of folks that we need to be taking care of. When was the last time that you took care of somebody that was hungry or maybe sick? Once again, scripture is very specific on things that we're supposed to be doing as followers. And if I were to ask you, are you a follower of Jesus? I'd want to know, what's your plan of action when somebody close to you, maybe somebody that you work with, maybe a close friend, what are you going to do? What are you going to say when they come to you and they want you to do something that you know is not right? You say you're a follower. Well, what does that mean when you go out on a date? What does that mean when you go out with your friends on Friday and Saturday night? You say you're a follower. Well, help explain to me what that means that you're going to do to protect your heart and your mind as you're watching television, as you're surfing the internet. You say you're a follower of Jesus Christ. Well, what do you do when you discover that maybe your coworker, maybe a neighbor doesn't know Jesus Christ? You see, it's one thing for us to say, you know, I'm a follower of Jesus. It's another thing for us to really live that out on a daily basis. You know, sometimes I think we confuse knowing about Jesus with really knowing Jesus. Last weekend, 4th of July, was invited over to a neighbor's house for a little, you know, 4th of July barbecue. And I'll tell you, we've got the greatest little neighborhood. Our street, it's got to be the best street in Sugarland. I mean, everybody knows each other. You know, we borrow tools back and forth, and kids all play together. Everybody watches out for each other's kids. And we spend a lot of time with our neighbors. And I was at this little backyard barbecue, and we had about 20 adults that were there, and a lot more kids that were swimming in the pool and just really enjoying our time together. And I was kind of, you know, going around just talking to different folks, you know, just checking up on them, how you doing, you know, how you survive in the heat, all those kind of typical questions that we do. And I sat down and I talked to this one guy, and we were just kind of talking about life for a little bit, you know, asking about the kids and how you doing this summer with work and just, you know, your basic stuff. And as we continued this conversation, at one point, as it usually does, our conversation turned towards God. And he started asking about me, and he started asking about church. And he was real inquisitive about my role as a minister and wanted to know what that looked like. You know, he said, you know, I see you come and go, but what do you really do? I mean, I know you pray and you read your Bible, but what does a minister really do? So I had to think about that for a while and make some stuff up. But no, you know, I talked to him, you know, I said, you know, I do a little bit of teaching, I do a little preaching, and I organize some classes and some different, you know, ministry organizations. But that wasn't quite enough for him. He said, tell me what you did this week. And so I kind of rolled through each day, you know, kind of some of the big stuff that I was working on. And I talked about this series, you know, that we're doing. I said, I'm preaching on Sunday. And so there's some preparation time and my lesson for that. And kind of along with that goes this this little media project that we put together. And I said, I'm filming this guy this week, and his name's Curtis Duncan. And he's an old Houston Oiler. And all of a sudden he perked up. Curtis Duncan, I know that name. See, this guy, he's a big Houston Oiler fan, followed the Oilers all through the 80s and all through the 90s. And he started talking about Curtis and all the guys that played during that few years that Curtis was playing. And he went on to talk about how Curtis Duncan, you know, still holds a lot of those Oiler receiving records and always will. And knew quite a bit about Curtis's career and everything about it. In fact, as I started thinking about that, I thought, you know what? This guy knows a lot about Curtis Duncan. I mean, he could list off some of his stats and where he went to school. And I thought, you know, I've been going to church with Curtis for 10 years. I know he played football, but I don't know that part of his life. But I know Curtis Duncan. I mean, I know the guy that loves and cares for his wife, Meredith. I know Curtis Duncan, the father that loves his children and spends time taking out of his schedule to teach them and train them and to pass on his passion and his love for Jesus Christ. And you see, I think sometimes we confuse, you know, having knowledge about someone or something with real intimacy. Sometimes people that are fans of Jesus, they know a lot about Jesus, they know a lot about the church, but they don't have the heart of Jesus. They don't have the heart of Christ. And that's what Jesus is talking about here in Luke chapter 9. If you would, just go ahead and open up your Bibles to Luke 9. This is where we're going to spend the most of our time together this morning. And as we not only look at Luke 9, 23, which is such a powerful verse that talks about denying ourselves and dying to ourselves so that we can take up our cross and truly follow Him. As we fast forward in this section of Scripture, if you look down at verse 57 and beyond, we see three prime examples of individuals who wanted to be followers of Jesus, but as it turns out, they were just fans of Jesus. Go ahead and follow along with me as we read here in verse 57. It says, "As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, 'I will follow you wherever you go.'" Now, this word that this man uses here, "wherever," is really an unconditional word. In other words, this man is saying, "Jesus, wherever you go, I want to go with you." But look at Jesus' reply. He says, "Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." In other words, what Jesus is saying to this man was, you know, "That's great that you want to follow me, but you need to understand what you're getting into when you follow me. You need to understand that where I'm going is not always comfortable." He says, you know, "Where I'm going, no frequent flyer miles, no Hilton Rewards card." He says, basically, "I am homeless." And that's the first thing that we need to understand. You know, if we are truly going to be a follower of Christ, a follower is willing to get outside of his comfort zone. And that's not easy because, I mean, we are a people. We are a people that like to be comfortable. I mean, we're a people that, you know, like day spas and hot tubs and lazy boys. We're a people that like to be comfortable. But unfortunately, when you have a cross that you're carrying, you're not always comfortable. It doesn't matter how you adjust it. It doesn't matter which shoulder you put it on. When you pick up your cross, it's not always comfortable. In fact, last week, that was one of the things that we talked about as a determining factor in deciding whether or not you're a fan or a follower is to ask yourself that question. Well, you know, is my life any different being a Christian? In other words, have you ever sacrificed for sake of the cross? Have you ever given anything up? Has the cross ever cost you anything? That's one of those questions that we all need to ask ourselves. You know, is picking up my cross of Jesus Christ, is it really costing me anything in my life? Because if we're truly going to be a follower of Christ, then we have to get out of our comfort zone. Now, as we continue looking here in Luke chapter 9, this time in verse 59, he said to another man, "Follow me." But the man replied, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Now, as we hear those words, you know, some of us, we might think, wow, that sounds pretty harsh. I mean, it kind of sounds like Jesus is a little bit insensitive to this man's feeling, his relationship with his father, maybe his family. But it's important for us to understand the cultural background of what's going on here. because a lot of scholars actually believe that as this man is called by Jesus and he says he's got to go home to bury his father, more than likely his father is not dead yet. Because in this Eastern culture, when someone was ill, someone was sick, someone was dying, family would be close by for not just days, but weeks and months, and even for a long period of time, waiting for somebody like a patriarch of a family to pass on. Because what would happen in this Eastern culture is that the children would be around for those last days, so that when the father passed on, he would also pass on his inheritance to the children. And it was at that point, when the children received the father's inheritance, that they would kind of usher in a new period of their life. So in other words, what this man is really saying is, you know, my father is getting to that season of life where he's getting old, he's about to die, but Jesus, you know, I'm going to come and follow you, you know, when I get to that next stage of life. You know, Jesus, when the time is right, then I'll come and follow you. And sometimes this is what we do, isn't it? When God calls us, when God places an opportunity before us, sometimes we make excuses. And again, this is another sign or a different determining factor of whether or not you're a fan or you're a true follower of Christ. Because a follower of Christ is willing to respond to Jesus' call immediately. And I know that's tough. Because, I mean, in life, we're all busy. But sometimes we get in this habit of always making excuses whenever the Spirit moves in our lives and calls us to maybe take that next step of faith. Sometimes we're reluctant to do so. Yeah, I'll get baptized, you know, when I really feel like I understand what I'm doing. Yeah, I want to get involved in church and I'll really commit to church, you know, once I kind of get to know some more people here and kind of find my place and I start to feel comfortable, then I'll get involved. You know, after I get out of college, or, you know, once I get married, or, you know, once the kids get a little bit bigger, or, you know, once we get past all the school activities, sports, and, you know, we're really busy right now, then, you know, after the kids get older, then we'll really be able to focus in on a ministry. And it seems like whatever stage of life, we always have some excuse, something to say that says, you know, later on, that's when I'll answer the call of Christ. But a true follower of Jesus is someone who is willing to respond to the call of Jesus immediately. Now, the third person that we run into in this section of Scripture, starting in verse 61, it says this: "Still another said, 'I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family.' Jesus replied, 'No one who puts his hand on the plow looks back and is fit for the service of the kingdom.'" Once again, understanding this Eastern culture, it wasn't common for somebody just to pick up and go. For a young person to make a big transition in life, it was something that really involved their entire family, and it involved several weeks and even months of, you know, celebration of passing on to this new life. And what Jesus is saying to this young man is saying, you know what? If you really want to follow me, if you're really going to be one of my disciples, you need to move on. You need to leave those things in your past, and you need to go ahead and make that decision. Jesus doesn't want any part-time followers. Jesus is asking each one of us to give him our heart. You see, a true follower is willing to give 100% to the call of Christ. Now, there's a great story in the book of Kings, Old Testament, Kings chapter 19, and you can read it on your own. It's a short, sweet little story, but it's the calling of Elisha. You remember the prophet Elisha? When it was his time to go into God's service and replace his forerunner, Elijah, God called him when he was one day out in the field, and he was plowing his field. Scripture tells us that he had 24 oxen, which, in other words, he was pretty well off. I mean, he was pretty comfortable in his situation. But as Elijah comes along and passes along this word of God that he is to be the next prophet, you know what Elisha does? Do you think he responds to the prophet Elijah and says, well, hey, can you wait just a little bit? You know, I'm right in the middle of harvest, and you know, forecasters say this is going to be a bumper crop this year. And you think that's what he says? No. Do you think Elisha goes back and says to Elijah, you know, hey, let me make sure that my business is all taken care of. I've got my cousin Leroy who's going to come in and work the fields while I'm gone. Let me kind of get things all set up before. Then I'll be ready to go. No, that's not what Elisha does. Scripture tells us that Elisha, he takes all of his farm equipment and he piles it up in his field, and he lights it up. He makes a bonfire. And as all of his farm equipment begins to burn, the folks there in the community come out to see what's going on, and at the same time, he slaughters his ox, have a big barbecue. And I think Elisha does this for a couple of different reasons. Number one, I think he was making a very clear statement to the people that were in his life, saying, you know what, I am done with this old life. God is calling me to something new, to something better. But I think he was also doing that for himself, because he knew that if there was anything to come back to, if there was anything that he could hold on to that maybe mentally or even physically, he might go back to that old life. Elisha knew he had to get rid of it. And you know, for some of us here this morning, for some of us, there are some things in our life that are keeping us from transitioning, from being a fan to a true follower of Christ. Now, I don't know what that is for each one of you. You're the only one that can make that decision. But I do know that we all have some things in our life that we're holding on to. Maybe it's, you know, something at home. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's something in our work, or maybe it's something that we know that in the position that we are at, you're always going to have a hard time being a true follower of Christ because of what your company or maybe one of your coworkers says that you have to do to keep your job. For some of us, it's going to be walking away from some of those things. For some of us, it's going to be doing some things like cleaning house. Maybe there's some magazine subscriptions you need to get rid of. Maybe you need to cancel cable. Maybe you need to get rid of some books or movies or whatever it is that is keeping you from really transitioning from fan to follower. Again, I don't know what that is in your life. You're the only one that can answer that question. But I do know this, and I want to be real clear. I do know that it's only a short time. It's only a short time before that moment when we stand before Jesus. And I hope and pray more than anything that when you're standing before Jesus, just like when I'm standing before Jesus, that Jesus Christ says, you know what? I'm so thankful. I am so thankful you moved from just being a Jesus fan to truly being a committed follower of Jesus Christ. I hope this week, as you think about your life and your walk with God, I hope you will take some time to evaluate. You know, if there's anything that is holding you back, I pray you'll take the steps to remove whatever that item is. Maybe you need to have your own little backyard barbecue. Be careful. There's a burn ban going on. It's got a little bit of drought. But whatever it takes, whether it's asking somebody to help you or a decision that you just make on your own, to take that step to remove those things in your life that are really keeping you from that close relationship with Jesus Christ. Right now, I want to ask that you stand. And as we close out our time, Greg's going to come up and lead us in a closing song together. But as we do that, I want to pray over you. And I want to ask that this week, that you'll continue thinking about that same question. How do I know whether or not I'm just a fan or a true follower of Jesus Christ? Let's bow together. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. And Father, I pray that for each of us, our decision will be clear. Father, we know that we are saved by grace. It's not by anything that we have done on our own, but Father, we pray that you would help us continue to be followers of you in every area of our life. Father, I know that for many of us, that takes some courage. Father, it takes for some of us that opportunity to be bold and say some things and do some things that maybe that we haven't done in a long time. Father, I pray for the person right now who is on the fence. They so desire to want to truly follow you, but for so long they have been making excuses. Father, help us not to make any more excuses, but instead, Father, help us to follow you each and every day. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.